Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The International Monetary Fund warns of global risks as central banks seek to tame inflation. And General Motors seeks to apply battery technology to its new energy business.
It's GM looking out and saying, okay, we're investing all this money for EVs. What are some other use applications that we can, you know, leverage that work that's already being done and push it into new areas and actually start to look like a growth company?
Plus, why for some Charles Dickens fans, the Musk Twitter saga has been the best of times. It's Tuesday, October 11th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The International Monetary Fund is downgrading its forecast for global growth, citing the effects of inflation, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and a slowdown in China due to COVID-19 lockdowns. In its World Economic Outlook, the IMF says it's now forecasting that the global economy will expand 2.7% in 2023, down 0.2% from its previous estimate. The fund says growth in the world's three biggest economies, the U.S., the European Union, and China, will slow next year, while economies representing more than a third of global output will contract. The IMF is also warning that rapid rate hikes now being undertaken by many central banks to tame inflation are increasing risks to the financial system, such as disruptions in lending. Global stock and bond markets have also seen more volatility as investors try to limit risk-taking. Still, the fund says rate hikes are needed to keep inflationary pressures from becoming entrenched. U.S. stocks ended the day mixed, with the Nasdaq entering its second bear market of the year. That's when an index closes more than 20% below a recent high. Stocks fell after the Bank of England said it would end its pension rescue plan on Friday as planned. The Dow was up 36 points, or 0.1%, and the S&P 500 finished up about 0.2%. NASA says its mission to change the trajectory of a distant asteroid by intentionally smashing a high-speed spacecraft into it last month was a success. Scientists hope the technology used in the DART mission could one day help protect Earth from a catastrophic asteroid hit. At a press briefing this afternoon, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson called it a watershed moment for planetary defense.
All of us have a responsibility to protect our home planet. After all, it's the only one we have. And this mission shows that NASA is trying to be ready for whatever the universe throws at us.
NASA gauged the mission's success by observing that it shortened the asteroid's orbit around a larger asteroid by 32 minutes. Delta Airlines is investing $60 million in a company that makes flying electric taxis. The company, Joby Aviation, says it expects to fly passengers by 2024, including to New York and Los Angeles. Delta's move is just the latest investment airlines are making in the budding industry for so-called electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. Such vehicles aren't yet authorized to take flight, though this past month, the Federal Aviation Administration shared design standards for the landing sites they would need at airports. And in Baltimore, prosecutors have dropped the charges against Adnan Syed, whose conviction in 2000 for the murder of his ex-girlfriend, Haymin Lee, became the focus of the smash hit podcast Serial. Syed had been serving a life sentence until last month when a Baltimore circuit judge vacated his conviction. Today, the city's state attorney, Marilyn Mosby, said new DNA evidence excluded Syed from the crime.
The criminal justice system should be based on fair and just prosecution. And the crux of the matter is that we are standing here today because that wasn't done 23 years ago.
In vacating Syed's conviction, prosecutors said new evidence suggested there were two suspects who may have been involved in Lee's death, who were not properly ruled out during the first investigation. Coming up, General Motors ventures into the energy sector, how the automaker is hoping to apply its work on batteries, and what it could mean for consumers after the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As we reported this morning, General Motors is looking to apply the battery technology it uses in its electric vehicles to power homes and businesses. The automaker is starting an energy unit to kickstart that business called GM Energy with the goal of helping consumers make the transition. And it's got company. GM joins several other automakers who are venturing into the energy sector. Joining me now with more on GM's plan and what it could mean for consumers is Wall Street Journal automotive reporter Mike Colias. Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining me.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
So, Mike, can you start by explaining the vision here? How could EV battery technology translate to homes and businesses? What does GM envision?
Yeah, I think their thinking is that EVs are really kind of in their infancy in terms of the way they work, how you charge them. You know, we have Tesla, but there's not many other options out there, and they're just starting to trickle out. And so GM thinks that, you know, residential users, commercial users are going to need help with this transition. And so they're offering sort of a combination of hardware and software to help customers out with this. So an example would be if you own an EV, that's like having a giant generator in your garage, if you have a garage. And so GM would offer to sell you a special charger that would allow you to use that energy in your EV truck, let's say, to power your home during an outage. On the commercial side of things, a business, you might, you know, if they buy a bunch of EV trucks and vans, let's say, they've got to manage that fleet. They've got to figure out when to charge them, how to charge them, and GM would sell them both the charging infrastructure as well as the services to help them manage that through like a software basis.
So you mentioned generators, which could be one of the potential benefits for consumers. What are the other pros for consumers in this vision?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple. I think the backup power really is a big one because it's sort of a growing need. As we see more natural disasters, you know, the hurricane in Florida, power outages in California related to wildfires. I mean, I think it's more top of mind for people and has become a bit more of a reason why people look to EVs, even though not all EVs have that sort of bi-directional capability to power your home. But I think you're going to see more and more of that. And GM has made the point that utilities kind of like that as backup power for the system. If there's a critical mass of EVs out there that can put power back into the grid when things get touch and go, that's a good thing for the utilities. And the other thing is just consumers can sell during off-peak times, sell power back to the grid. And so that's a way to potentially lower your electric bill.
What are you hearing from GM about how this could transform its business?
So GM's been talking about expanding into a lot of sort of non-automotive areas, even, you know, using hydrogen fuel cells to power locomotives, for example, or using batteries for electric boats. They've talked about a number of applications for the military. And so these are early days, right? They haven't really given much of a revenue projection on any of this stuff. And I think for the better part of this decade, it may not, you know, it may be a tiny fraction of the amount of revenue they take in from their core automaking business. But I think it's GM looking out and saying, okay, we're investing all this money for EVs. What are some other use applications that we can, you know, leverage that work that's already being done and push it into new areas and actually start to look like a growth company? Because that's not what traditional automakers are. It's a cyclical business.
What are the risks of this venture for GM, which has tried to make inroads in other industries besides automotives before, right?
Yeah, GM and other car companies sort of have a checkered past of being able to diversify outside of an industrial entity, right? So, you know, GM sort of infamously in the 80s and 90s tried to get in the aerospace business, tried to get into sort of data processing. You know, those were big splashy acquisitions that kind of went nowhere and they had to backtrack and eventually sell those. More recently, they started some service-based businesses like a car sharing service, for example, several years ago, subscription car services, and had to pull the plug on those. And really, a car company's business model for a century has been you make a car and you ship it to a dealership and then they interface with the customer and sell that. So becoming a service provider, you know, if you're going to sell software to a residential customer who's going to use that to then figure out how to transfer power back and forth between the vehicle and the home, you know, that's going to require a whole different skill set for a company like GM.
And you mentioned some of those other companies are moving into the energy space as well, including Tesla. How are they looking to get into this sector right now? And why is it an industry that automakers seem to be gravitating towards?
Yeah, I think Tesla's the furthest ahead, which, you know, is often the case. Tesla's way ahead on a lot of these sort of future tech endeavors compared to traditional auto. So in this case, GM is sort of chasing Tesla, which Tesla's setup is very focused on solar. So they'll help customers install solar panels and then store that energy in large battery storage units. Toyota has just started in Japan offering something similar. And, you know, I think the company, from the company's standpoint, it's like, if we're going to spend our R&D on batteries, which, you know, in the next century is going to be the way that cars are powered, I think most automakers have come to that conclusion, then why not leverage some of that and find different ways to grow our revenues outside of traditional auto?
That's Wall Street Journal automotive reporter Mike Colias. Mike, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, back in 1852, Charles Dickens warned, "Keep out of the chancery." And it seems Elon Musk is trying to do just that. The Delaware Court of Chancery is the stage where the world's richest man could face off against Twitter if their $44 billion acquisition deal doesn't go through. Over the months of negotiations and litigation between the two, Dickens fans have become unlikely observers of the legal drama because the Chancery Court is the setting of the famed author's longest work, Bleak House. But our arts reporter Ellen Gammerman says the Chancery Court today has little in common with the one depicted in Dickens' novel.
The court in Dickens' day was just known to be incredibly slow, and that was the whole plot of Bleak House, is just how this court ruins people, and the only people who ever profit or win are the lawyers. And the court's the villain in the novel, and it's slow, and it's unfair, and it's corrupt.
Last week, the court pushed back the trial's start date to give the two sides time to finalize a deal. But Ellen says some of the Victorian novelist admirers are quietly rooting against an out-of-court settlement, so the saga can continue.
So it's just this funny mismatch of very old-timey sounding court from Dickens' day with Elon Musk and this avatar of the future, as he likes to see himself. And you're just kind of wondering, what weird time machine moment are we having right now? And that's what the Dickens fans love.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.